And now it's time for On Our Minds. This week, we've just finished reading a first novel from Afghan-American writer Nadia Hashimi. It's called The Pearl That Broke Its Shell, and it tells the interwoven stories of two Afghan women, a girl named Rahima and her great-great-grandmother. And for different reasons, they each adopt an ancient Afghan custom called bacha posh, in which a girl is allowed to dress as a boy. Sarah Nix asked Nadia why she chose to tell both women's tales.
You know, any family that you come from, you identify with your ancestors, you draw from their experiences, and you draw from who they were. So it's very important in Afghan society where you came from and who you came from. And for my character, Rahima, she looks back to the story of her great-great-grandmother, Shakeba, and she draws on her great-great-grandmother's strength, and she draws on the experiences that are narrated to her by her aunt.
In your novel, it seems that culturally, women's lives haven't changed all that much over the 100 years that separate these two characters. Rahima, whose story is set in modern-day Afghanistan, seems almost as hemmed in by decency rules as her great-great-grandmother was.
There's a big variation in Afghanistan in the time of Shakeba. That's about 100 years ago or a little bit more. They did not have a lot of rights. They did not enjoy a lot of freedoms, nor did women in other parts of the world at that time. And then there's a period of history that actually is missing in the book. It's those, you know, those generations that fall between these two stories, where in the major cities, especially in the capital, there was a big sweeping change that pushed women into another direction, where women were educated, where they were involved in the workplace, they were working as engineers, as physicians, they were traveling abroad for scholarships, doing all kinds of things. So it's a very different country than it was at that time. That being said, all of those changes didn't reach every corner of the country. So in some areas of the country, and especially in those outlying areas, the outskirts, far into villages, they did not reach those areas.
But like you say, maybe there has been a pendulum swing back to more kind of restrictive rules governing the lives of girls?
There clearly was during the more restrictive Taliban period. So a lot of the freedoms that they had were taken away. They were no longer going to pursue higher education. It meant that they couldn't wear the clothes that they would wear. They had to have longer sleeves on. You know, the burqa came as a more routine matter of coded dress.
One of the characters in your book, Rahima, she is a short break from the rules that govern the lives of girls. Could you read a little bit from that part of your novel? It's on page 34, I think.
Sure. Mother John took me behind the house with Pother John's scissors and razor. She pulled my long hair into a ponytail behind my head, whispered a prayer, and slowly began to shear away. Mother John cut and trimmed, bended my ear forward to trim around it. She cut my bangs short and straight across my forehead. The next step was my clothing. Mother John asked my uncle's wife for a shirt and a pair of pants. My cousin had outgrown them, as had his older brother and my other cousin before him. I slipped one leg in and then the other. They were slimmer and heavier than the usual balloon pants I wore under my dresses. I pulled the tunic over my head and realized there was no ponytail to pull through after it. I folded my arms across my chest and cocked my head as I'd seen my cousin Sadiq do so many times. I kicked my foot, pretending there was a ball in front of me. Was that it? Was I a boy already?
Great, thank you. So, what is a bacha posh?
A bacha posh literally translates into someone who is dressed as a boy. It's something that happens fairly routinely in Afghan culture.
When would a family decide to make a girl into a boy, essentially?
So families would do this for a few different reasons. Families that did not have a son were kind of lacking that honor, that, you know, that badge, that crest for the family, that one person that would carry on their name. The other reason that people would do it was born out of superstition. Some families believed that by dressing one of their girls as a boy, they actually could bring some good luck to the mother's womb, and then the mother would then have a child that would actually be born a son, a true son.
So for the girls living this way, at least in your novel, they really live as boys. They aren't subject to any of the rules that govern girls.
They're very much accepted as boys. For the families and the communities, they accept that young girl as a boy, and she travels and moves about society with all the rights and privileges that are usually afforded to a boy.
You mentioned that you've talked to different people who have known girls who lived as boys under this tradition. Do you have any sense of what the end is like for those girls when they go back to living as a woman when they hit puberty?
There's a big variety in the stories that I've heard and the people that I've spoken to, and then the interviews that I've read also. I know of one person who was dressed as a boy, and actually the fact that she was a girl was concealed from her father for about 9 years until she herself came to the realization that she was a girl and wanted to be restored as a girl. And that was done because the father was disappointed that he didn't have a son. And so the mother changed her to a boy to prevent the father from taking on a second wife. Other stories that I've read, it's given girls a sense of confidence. It's given them an entitlement that they did not have before. And a lot of them have gone on to be high-achieving people in society, and they've gone on to be deputy ministers or have government positions or become a nurse anesthetist. We wonder if that's because of their experience of living as a boy and because they were able to have that security and that ability to believe they deserve those positions, or is it, would they have achieved those positions otherwise?
In The Pearl That Broke Its Shell, Rahima, the character whose story takes place in contemporary Afghanistan, she gets to spend some time with female parliamentarians. And in one part of the book, one of those female parliamentarians is hurt in a car bomb. Rahima goes back home and she talks to her elderly aunt about the bombing. Could you read that section of the book?
I told her about everything, the hotel, the guards, the buildings, and the foreign soldiers. Then I told her about the bombing and the reason we came back. I heard about that on the radio. Bastards. Can't handle a woman with a voice. Is she going to come back to the parliament? She wants to. I didn't doubt that. Zamrud was not one to be scared off easily. I wished I could be more like her, so determined and brave. And I should be, I thought. I'd been so self-assured when I was a bachapush. Walking around with the boys, I feared nothing. If they had dared me to wrestle a grown man to the ground, I would have done it. I thought I could do anything. And now I trembled before my husband, before my mother-in-law. I had changed. I had lost my confidence. The dress I wore felt like a costume, something that disguised the confident, headstrong boy I was supposed to be. The dress, the husband, the mother-in-law, I wish I could toss them all aside.
Well, Nadia, you grew up in the United States, and you've said in other interviews that Afghan culture was kept alive in your home. Were there distinct gender roles in your family when you were growing up?
There were and there weren't. So I grew up with things like, you know, modest clothing. I wore T-shirts and shorts, but, you know, the shorts wouldn't be too short. You know, by Western standards, it was a little bit different. On the other hand, I was just thinking about this the other day. In my family, have never had any single male tell me that I couldn't do something. I never had anything but huge cheerleaders behind me. I have never once heard, you shouldn't do that because you're a girl. I have never once heard a restriction on what I could accomplish from any of the men in my family. And that, I think, was what really propelled me to look at what's happening to Afghan girls in Afghanistan now, because they don't have that experience. They don't have that support from the men around them.
And of course, you've accomplished a lot with that encouragement from your family. You're a novelist, of course, but also a pediatrician. You also have two children, and I believe a third one on the way. Is that right?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Very much on the way. Thank you.
Are any of your kids girls?
My middle child, or she will be the middle child shortly, she is a girl. She's the person who I've dedicated this book to. She has made me think very long and hard about what it means to be a girl and how I want to raise my daughter and what I want to teach her and the limits that I don't want to put on her. Having her has also changed the way I look at raising my son. We're very careful with the endearments that we use around the house. She's daddy's little scientist. She's not daddy's little princess, you know. And I enroll her in the same soccer camp that I enroll my son in, and we don't really channel their interests into those gender roles, as I want her to feel like the doors are open for whatever she wants to do.
Nadia Hashimi is the author of The Pearl That Broke Its Shell. She spoke with Sarah Nix.